Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Back here on Vesco and Dusty with Mac Morey.
Not nearly as loud as Cody's recording.
Boy, yesterday I think was like, you think yesterday everybody kind of pulled the Band-Aid off the Chiefs season? Now, I know there's still a possibility that they could make the playoffs. They have to win out and other things have to happen as well. But again, I thought Mahomes said it right in his press conference or with Carrington yesterday, saying basically, yeah, it just sucks when everybody else controls your destiny, right? In the past seasons, it's been, well, we're either going to be the one seed or the three seed. Oh, my gosh, the Chiefs are going to be a three seed? Woof.
Right.
They were in. This season, it's not going that way for obvious reasons. And Binkley, who was on last night on After Hours, but also on our show as well, he's got some theories on what you can do to make this team better.
Who would you draft first? And our first mock, we did have him go defensive line in the first round. But the more you think about it, and you ask people, what about wide receivers? What about wide receivers? Because you have an elite quarterback, and the chances of this town ever having a quarterback like this again are slim and none, to be honest with you, with this success rate that he's had. But when Kelce leads his team in receiving yards, like he did last year, when he walks off into the sunset probably after this year, who are you going to throw to? Because Hollywood Brown was supposed to be here 1 year. He got hurt. They brought him back for another year. That deal hasn't panned out. Xavier Worthy, I don't think he's been the same guy since he ran into Kelce on play three in Brazil. Rashee Rice needs to pan out for this team because next year, honestly, look at the Chiefs' wide receiving stats. If you want to see something where they need a lot of improvement, look at their wide receiving stats. All these people say, well, they don't need a wide receiver. They're fine at wide receiver. They're not fine at wide receiver. They're not.
So that's one thing that, you know, Connor Embry was the name that you have kind of like developed to say that might be the problem because this, like I've said all year, it reminds me of like the Chiefs season, right? The Chiefs had a World Series pitching rotation and a minor league lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. The Royals. Yeah.
Yeah. The Royals. The Chiefs have a all pro MVP quarterback with D1 wide receivers. At least this year, it looks that way with drops and missed routes and maybe a few injuries can be plagued. I ask you guys the question. And I hope you're ready for this question. And text line, you feel free to answer this as well. 913-586-7965. I mean this, and I just want to have a barstool conversation at the bar top. Would you trade Rashee Rice in the offseason?
Yeah.
Wow, you didn't even think about it.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I'd trade anybody on this team right now except for the quarterback. I mean, that's kind of where I am. And if the
tackle and Josh Simmons, you trade?
No, probably not.
That's the only other guy I wouldn't
trade. Yeah, I'd probably think
Creed
about
and Trey.
Absolutely. I would trade one of those two.
Yeah, I would. There's a lot of money invested in those two guys. I mean, you're probably right about that. And I would probably lean to trade Creed more than Trey because I think Trey's a better player than Creed is. And you can find a center. The Chiefs have done a nice job of finding centers since Andy Reid has come in here, whether it's Mitch Morris or Creed Humphrey. But, you know, I think this offseason, you know, it's an old Seinfeld bit, and he said, we're cheering for laundry, right? And that's really the way that you have to look at sports. We're cheering for the Chiefs jerseys and the hats and the helmets and all that kind of stuff. The players come and go. I mean, you know, every year it's 30 new players that roll into town for any NFL team. So when you go into this offseason, don't have the mindset of, oh, we can't trade this guy. We're coming off our worst season in 11 years. We're coming off a season that I think most fans are ready to be done with, right? I get that feel like most fans are just, they're at peace with where this team is and they're ready to move on, right? They really are. And so I think this is the offseason because fans do have that kind of mindset going into it. This is an offseason where you can go out there and should go out there and make those moves. You're not coming off the Super Bowl anymore where you're like, well, we just might as well keep everybody together because we went to the Super Bowl last year. This is a great opportunity to have a blank canvas and basically take your entire roster and go, all right, let's rank everybody. Who do you want to keep? Who's available for trade? And then you rank your guys on who you think can get the most back in trades, the most valuables, or Rashee Rice and obviously Trent McDuffie on the defensive side of things. I would try to foist Chris Jones on Dallas and try to get some kind of picks back, you know, in return. Like, literally, other than the quarterback and probably Josh Simmons, everything is open for conversation. Every player is open for conversation about potentially being traded or moved or cut because you're coming off a very unsuccessful season in Chiefs Kingdom. You've got to change things up. There's no reason to run this back, and they won't. They always make great changes when they fail, and that's why I'm kind of excited for this offseason because this is the biggest failure we have seen this organization make in this regime and in this generation. I'm anxious and excited to see what they attempt to do this offseason and how much Clark Hunt allows them to do this offseason.
Yeah, I also think Binkley said something yesterday too about how Rice, whether we like it or not, the Chiefs kind of need him to show up. So
sure.
Would I trade Rashee Rice? Yes. Should the Chiefs trade Rashee Rice? No, because the Chiefs' wide receivers for 2026 are Xavier Worthy, Jalen Royals, and Rashee Rice.
That's
who's on the active roster for next season.
EGE!
They need Rashee Rice to be good. And frankly, like, we can talk about the drops and how we had high expectations for him. I don't think he's going to be that top 10, top 15 guy like maybe we thought he could be. But from a talent perspective, like, we need to be realistic. Like, he's a good player. Like, we're down on him right now here in the Kingdom, which makes sense because the big time drops, I mean, that fourth down drop last week legitimately ended the season.
Yeah.
I get it. He's on pace for 1,300 yards. He's a damn good athlete. I think they need to at least keep him here for now, but they need someone for next season.
Can I make an analogy real fast to something that I'm dealing with in my life right now? Like, I've talked about my daughter having some struggles in math, and we went and got her a tutor. Why can't Rashee Rice get a wide receiver tutor this offseason? Like, hire a wide receiver coach, a specialty coach. Like, I know those guys exist out there, and they probably have, you know, access to some of the best out there, but Rashee Rice needs to find a true, legitimate coach because this Connor Embry guy is no business coaching wide receivers in the NFL. How's a guy supposed to tell players what to do and how to do it when he didn't even play that position? Now, I'm not you have to play in order to coach guy, but when Connor Embry's a young guy, doesn't have much experience coaching, went from high school to the Chiefs coaching staff, how is that enough knowledge and enough real world and life experiences as a coach to get guys that are kind of your same age to play better? So I think this offseason, Rashee Rice needs to invest in a private tutor to get him to play that position better. Find the best wide receiver coach out there and go hire his ass to make you better.
So I can kind of answer that question because of what I've heard and what's been said is that it's been Travis Kelce. Like, that's been his, like, sort
mentor.
Of guy
that's
trying to tell him, like, hey, like, they're going to try to have you run similar routes to this level. This is what you're going to try to do. This is what they want to do with you. This is what you could do. To play devil's advocate in the arbitration world where people say 1,300 yards could have some superstar caliber, you know, moments. Off-the-field issues have been there.
Yep.
We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries have been there. We know that. I understand the injury was a freak injury. But since he's been in the league, he's been welcomed in the league as a rookie. He then was injured because of the friendly fire and then the suspension of the off-the-field issues. That's 3 years in the league. Next year's his fourth year.
Yeah.
Yes, he's under rookie contract, but if you're going to sell, you've got to get some pieces, and you got to sell while it's high. Mm-hmm. And if you want to revamp your team and revamp the message and really let Patrick Mahomes kind of become that OC that Binkley was talking about, you might have to make some of those moves, and that could be a Rashee Rice move. Let's go to Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby rap.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, Nate Taylor time here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. It is the ESPN Chiefs beat writer, Nate Taylor. We ask you the question that we just asked the fellas, or that I asked in the offseason: would you consider trading Rashee Rice?
Oh, wow. We're starting here. Okay. Yeah. Part of me wants to say no. Part of me wants to say no, because at some point, and we know how talented Rashee Rice is. I think I should start there. Like, he's probably your most talented receiver, just from like an overall skill standpoint. Now, as I said before earlier this week on Cody and Gold, hey, he has maturity issues. He still needs to, I think, learn what it's like to be the number one receiving option, especially against man coverage when there's, you know, like a safety over the top. Hey, man, you still got to find work. You still got to perform at a high level. You still got to be a professional, even when the play call isn't, like, you know, pristine for you. With that said, like, you know, we don't know if Travis Kelce's coming back. You do want some continuity. You did invest a second-round pick in him. I know that there was parallels. I think to some degree alluded to this in like an article back in whatever it was, October, when he came back from the suspension, that, hey, if he played well this season, if there was no, you know, long-term serious injury concerns, could you get him at a below-market rate deal similar to what you did with Tyreek Hill in the 2019 offseason because of his own off-the-field issues, right? So he's not going to be like the highest paid receiver. I understand the thought process of trading him. I'm not sure what you would necessarily get back. Like, I don't think you're going to get a second round pick, you know, the same status of which you drafted him. But I understand that, like, he does fit. The issue is a lot of it is within himself, and he can fix it himself, notably catching the football, again, running better routes. You know, if the scheme isn't, like, perfect for you, you are still talented enough to help your quarterback even when things don't go perfect. So I would not consider trading Rashee Rice personally, because we've seen it work, but he has to show maturity more than anything else now that we know he's still a very talented player coming back from that major knee injury last year.
Nate, I also think we're in a very bad position. When you lose, everything gets analyzed, everything gets discussed, everything gets talked about. I find out who assistant coaches are when they start to lose. This Connor Embry guy has as much business coaching wide receivers in the NFL as I do. I think they need to make a drastic position change there, coaching change there, and bring in a legitimate wide receiver coach that can coach these guys.
As I said on Tuesday, and it's so funny, Bob, that you mentioned, hey, I'm starting to learn who this man is. And then, you know, I understand people look up, you know, people's resumes on the internet. It's definitely something we do as a society. I really don't have much of an argument, of a case to defend Connor Embry. You know, I know he came up in a very non-traditional manner. He's not the most well-spoken assistant coach. So if you do find video and clips of him, I would say public speaking is not his forte necessarily. So I don't know what it's like in the wide receiver room. I don't know how much of a say he really has in the coaches' meetings with, you know, Matt Nagy, obviously Andy Reid. But I do want to remind people that essentially, and this is like what you're saying, Bob, like, there's small things that become larger and larger if you don't have the same level of success.
Right.
Greg Lewis was a very good wide receiver in the NFL. Now, was he an all-pro? Was he a Pro Bowler? No. But he had a very extended career in the NFL. He was with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He was with that roster that went to the Super Bowl, I believe, in, what, 2004? Greg Lewis was a part of the Legion of Zoom, right? He got all those guys to play well, even though, as Andy Reid would like to say, hey, there's only one football. So you're thinking of Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle. Like, he had pretty good success with receivers, and now he's with the Baltimore Ravens, because I think there was some thought at the time that if Eric Bieniemy were to become a head coach, Greg Lewis would follow him. That obviously did not happen. Greg Lewis saw another opportunity, again, in the Andy Reid sort of tree with John Harbaugh in Baltimore. So that's where he is now. So think about this, ladies and gentlemen. They replaced, in essence, Greg Lewis with Joe Blamire. And Joe Blamire, I think, only lasted 1 year in that role. And Joe Blamire is now like the he's like sort of elevated to like passing game coordinator, in essence, or passing game, you know, sort of czar. And then they gave it to Connor Inbrees. So I think I have the timeline pretty well, but like, you know, there's one thing where you just, you know, again, it's just one thing, but you are noticing like, hey, this is not as traditional of a coaching rank or someone who is as experienced or someone who could tell the guys in the room, hey, I've been in those situations on third down. I know what it's like to go up against obviously talented DBs and, you know, complex defensive schemes and sort of reading, you know, what the secondary is doing pre-snap, post-snap. Greg Lewis had a lot of respect, and I know, like, it's not like Baltimore has the greatest receivers on earth either, so I get it. But, like, he was someone who helped the team to have great success early on in Mahomes' career, and now you have Connor Embry, who does not have the same credentials or the same pedigree that Greg Lewis once had.
And then on the other side, at the running back position, you have Todd Pinkston, a former wide receiver coaching the running backs. Explain to me how that makes sense.
I can't.
Okay. That's fine. You don't have to say anything else.
My understanding was Todd Pinkston wants to be an NFL coach, you know, so like Andy Reid gave him that opportunity.
So do I.
Hey, here's, we have an opening. It's at the running back position. Now, look, it's not abnormal to be like, hey, you know, Andy Reid used to be an offensive line coach, but he really cut his teeth as like tight ends coach who got elevated to like quarterbacks coach. And then obviously he became play caller slash, you know, head coach with Philadelphia. So it's not like it can't work where you're like, hey, I played one position in the NFL or in college and now I'm coaching another position. That is not unusual, but you know, we have raw data and like under the Todd Pinkston era, it's not been the same as like the Eric Bieniemy era when he was the running backs coach, right? I know Greg Lewis dabbled for some time at the running back position because, again, he wanted to have multiple – he wanted to say, I coached multiple spots in the event that maybe Eric Bieniemy becomes a head coach. Again, I know I'm sharing a lot of old news, but I'm just trying to give people proper perspective. So I know Todd Pinkston isn't thrilled with the way things are going, but, again, does he have the same voice? Does he carry the same message that Eric Bieniemy did about, hey, we need to run the football. We need to get under center. We need to be aggressive. We need to get the offensive line moving forward versus backwards just to keep them, you know, engaged and keep the defense off balance. I don't know. I'm not in those meetings, ladies and gentlemen, but the Todd Pinkston era has largely been an underwhelming experience. And so it's a good question, Bob. And these are the answers I have.
Yeah, I get it. No, I'm not asking you to, you know, to move mountains. I'm just having the conversation because, again, when things go wrong, we evaluate everything in the organization.
So, look, there's no salary cap on coaches. I want to make that clear, too. Like, and Clark Hunt, for whatever, you know, sort of thoughts you have on him, whoever is listening, has paid Andy Reid and, you know, Steve Spagnuolo handsomely. Dave Toll makes a good amount of money, per my understanding. So it's not like, you know, Clark Hunt hasn't invested in the coaching staff necessarily, but for whatever reason, these next crops of coaches have not had the same level of success that you had earlier in the dynasty.
So let's talk coaches, but player coaches, both one or none come back. Trent McDuffie, Chris Jones.
I want both back. Okay. Guys, let's not overthink this. Mm-hmm. Like, now, I think Chris's contract is structured to where you can move some money around, you can free up some cap space. That was part of the arrangement when you made the deal. In essence, hey, we're going to give you a good amount of signing bonus. We're going to make you the highest paid player at your position, but we need to have some flexibility moving forward because yes, you're going to be 31, you're going to be 32, and hopefully the production doesn't drop off, you know, drastically. Now we've seen over the last four games, Chris Jones has clearly been their best pass rusher. And you know, if the Chiefs don't make the postseason this year, it's not like Chris Jones can't come back next year and be another dominant force or have a similar season from a production standpoint. You guys, again, I know It's early December. Everybody's looking at mock drafts. I'm just now myself starting to identify certain prospects that I guess I'm going to have to keep an eye on. But I just want to remind people that, like, Brett Veach has never had a top 20 draft pick. Right. His highest draft pick is Trent McDuffie. Yes, did Trent McDuffie get cooked on Thanksgiving? Yeah, it happens. It's unfortunate that Trent McDuffie hyperextended his knee last Sunday against the Houston Texans. And then we all realized as a collective group, I think, in this city, man, it would have been cool if they had Jalen Watson, Trent McDuffie, and Noah Williams on the field all the time. And maybe you didn't have to put so much responsibility on Shamari Connor, because it wasn't like the Texans were just moving up and down the field even without Trent McDuffie for a large chunk of that game. So Trent McDuffie is a two-time All-Pro player. He is not the problem. I would suggest, hey, Trent needs to be someone that you could be flexible with moving outside and in the nickel spot so that, again, Shamari Connor never has to do these sort of things. And we now realize Noah Williams does have the physical traits and the makeup, I believe, and the talent, honestly, to play on the outside. So who knows what happens with Jalen Watson. He is also a free agent as well. I know that gets a little bit tricky because you do have the fifth-year option with Trent McDuffie. If you do want to trade him, that is something you could, you know, sort of suggest to the other team that it's acquiring. Like, hey, you know, he's still on a fifth-year rookie deal. Mm-hmm. You still have some wiggle room to negotiate and manage whatever that contract is going to be in terms of an extension. Now, I've reported this before. I don't think this has really changed since the beginning of the season, but, like, Trent McDuffie knows what sauce Gardner makes. Mm-hmm. Just think about that,
right,
guys.
Right,
so
right.
However you structure it, that'll be the question. Again, it's kind of like the Trey Smith situation where, like, is it a four-year deal? Is it a five-year deal? All these things come into factor, but, like, Trent McDuffie's not the problem. He's really good within Steve Spagnuolo's system, and he's been very productive for 4 years now. So I don't, you know, I was one who was like, are you sure you want to pay George Karlaftis before you want to pay Trent McDuffie? The Chiefs realized that was an easier thing to do based on the market and the fact that, like, George Karlaftis was not going to make top of, you know, position money at defensive end. But we all know Trent McDuffie's a better player than George Karlaftis, right? We all know mm-hmm. that. There are metrics, there are film, there are highlights to suggest this. If you have a good corner, man, there's a lot of things you can do on defense if you have a good corner and a good pass rusher. The issue is, you know, they cannot get off the field on third and long, and I don't really think that's totally a Trent McDuffie issue. They just have to get better at certain spots of the field, primarily in the middle of the field at safety and cornerback, or safety and linebacker, excuse me.
Do you think the price for him has dropped, maybe, Nate, because of the past two performances? And do you think him being an inside corner versus an outside corner, like Stingley and Surtain and those guys, maybe makes him a little cheaper?
So, yeah, let's think about this. Stingley's been excellent this season, all right? So, in my opinion, you're thinking, you know, and again, your contract is based on when you come up, when you're eligible, based on the peers that you came into the league with. This is how it works, ladies and gentlemen. That Sauce Gardner contract is an abomination, because Sauce mm-hmm. Gardner is not as good as Derek Stingley. And listen to me clearly, ladies and gentlemen, Sauce Gardner is not as good as Trent McDuffie.
No, there's no question. Andy,
but Sauce got a first round pick.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. I don't know what the Colts are doing, guys. So, hey, if you get a first round pick.
Just because they made a bad trade doesn't mean everybody else is, you know?
They made a bad trade on site, because it's like, okay, I would have been in the room saying, hey, if we want to give up next year's first round pick, fine, because we do think we have a solution in Daniel Jones. We know he fits our system. We got Jonathan Taylor. He's still in the, you know, relative prime of his career. Hey, we got a nice young pieces on the offense from a skill set position with Tyler Warren. Hey, our defense, it needs improvement. Sauce Gardner, we drop him in, he's going to immediately impact us. He's on a gigantic contract. Why on earth are you giving up two first-round picks? Are you out of your mind? Yep. It was crazy on the idea, because you're not going to change that contract. And we all knew, and the Jets do this, man, that contract was bad at the moment we signed him. But the Jets felt like they had to sign him because he was one of their best players, and you don't want to lose him for nothing. So the Jets actually did something relatively smart, where they looked around and said, man, we ain't winning any of these games, even though Sauce Gardner is a good player. So he's not going to lift us to be in contention anytime soon. So they called around and were, I'm assured, shocked that Indy, under new ownership, by the way, shout out to Carly Ursay, said, no, we'll give up two first-round picks, even though we maybe have a quarterback. Like, when you tell yourself, we maybe have a quarterback, and that's how Daniel Jones was playing. Hey, man, we might have a
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Yeah, right. You still need your first-round pick, so... It's wild to me that they gave up two first-round picks because that's the same deal that essentially the Chiefs did to acquire Patrick Mahomes. What are you doing?
No doubt. No doubt. Well, Nate, keep doing the Lord's work over there at ESPN, and good luck the rest of the season.
All right, fellas. Thank you so much.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.